Okay, I'll make it 5:30, so we'll kick off at 5:30. I wish to acknowledge the Gariel people as the traditional custodians of this land, on whose lands we are meeting, and recognise their strength and resilience, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I also wish to acknowledge our freedman, Arnold Carter. Good to see you again, Arnold. Welcome members of the public. Item 3, attendance is listed there of the officers. Item 3.2, attendance by phone, there is nil. Item 3.3, apologies, we have Director of Corporate Services is on annual leave, Anthea Bird. Point 3.4, approval of leave of absence, there is nil. Item 3.5, disclosure of interest. The Chief Executive Officer has disclosed a vested and financial interest in item 15.2, Chief Executive Officer's probation review. Item 4, there is nil. Item 5, there is nil. Item 6, public time. Important notice. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed live online as an additional record of the meeting and to assist the minute-taking purposes for which they may be released upon the request of a third party. If you do not give your permission for the recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with section 6.17 subsection 4 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws and standing orders, mobile phones must be switched off and not used during the meetings. In accordance with section 6.7 subsection 3 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws and standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form in the tray provided if they wish to ask a question. If the presiding officer determines that the question or statements are out of order due to use of offensive or objectionable expressions or are defamatory, they will not be recorded or responded to. I now officially open question time at 5:34. Do we have any questions? I know we have one from Arnold, which we'll deal with in a moment. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, come forward. Have you given that in? That?
I can give it to you after I read it.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Hello. My name's Byron Kemp. My question relates to item 11.3.3.
Yep.
Okay. So that's a question one. I have three questions. This development application was approved in 2013 under the current town planning scheme number 5, but not now. My question is, can you explain why? Question 2. The primary land use is residential and supports both the Prime Minister and the Premier's public announcement for mining and construction to lead Australia out of the COVID-related recession by providing much-needed jobs and accommodation for the increasing labour force. However, the Council states that approving this application for more jobs and accommodation is a, quote, reputational risk. Can you please explain why? Question 3. Does task force recommendations include the industry reduce its emissions and the government taking control and monitoring of the emissions to ensure people are safe? However, the council expects the landowners to keep the same industry emissions off his property by changing his approved land use. Could you please elaborate and explain why these items? Thank you.
Okay, I'll give a brief answer. The actual planning rules have changed, as you would probably be aware, and impact on that piece of land. Have you got a lawyer? This went to SAT recently? Presumably you had a lawyer there?
Yep.
Did he explain that component to you?
I'm asking questions more to further my knowledge in the understanding. I'm not particularly, yeah. I'm more asking on behalf of other people who could be in this situation.
Yeah.
Not so much
okay.
for myself, but for
okay.
other people. And just get a general understanding
yeah, yeah.
of how
okay.
that's all.
The current, I sit in as the planning commission when I sit in here, doing the development application such as the one you're interested in. And I'm obliged to use the rules that have been set down for the Planning Commission, the rules that apply as of now. And I'm also obliged to follow the guidelines set down by SAT, which is the group you now know nothing about. I'll make a decision on the rules that are in place right now. My understanding is that SAT made a suggestion in relation to holiday accommodation or something along those lines, and that was, as I understand it, rejected by whoever represented yourselves. So I'm forced to look at the rules that apply now, and I'll explain that in when we get to that item. But if you can give that to
yep.
our people,
yep.
and I'll get an actual more comprehensive answer
yeah.
to you in writing.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you. Yeah, my email address is on there. That'd be good. Just to improve my understanding of how,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of, it's not just him. This is a good example for how other people who are in a similar situation with vacant land
yeah.
could
yes.
experience the same process, rather than everybody coming here going through, costing time and everything, like
yeah.
going through the process to set a precedent for these people.
Yeah.
And just to understand that, I understand that things have changed with the IP50 and the scheme amendment and this, how that
yeah.
is implemented and unfolding, because in 2013 he did comply with the Amendment 22, because I think that came in at 2012.
Yeah.
So he has complied with the short-term accommodation with the maximum of 110 square metres and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
It seems like it's changed again from residential short-term accommodation to
yeah.
what you're saying. And I'm just trying to find
yeah,
out,
that's
understand
right.
it better, more into homes
yeah.
of holiday accommodation or however,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I'm unaware of.
The new rules say that that is the residential component is non-compliant use of the land.
Okay. So that's
so.
Yeah, that's the first aware of it just now. So I'm only sort of learning that as it comes out.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give you a comprehensive answer to that.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
Thanks. Any other questions without notice? Arnold, it's, my understanding is you want one of the officers to read the statement you sent in to us.
Yes, so I have two questions. I want to put one in first and the second one, which I put into the staff. Yes, I'd like her to read that, please.
The only thing wrong with the statement you put in is there appears to me to be five questions on that document.
Yeah.
And as you're aware, probably more than anyone, that you're allowed three questions
yeah.
in relation to question time. So do you want to use the top section? My understanding is the top section, the first paragraph or so, is more of a statement than a question. And do you want to then choose which three questions you wish to ask?
Well, I would like, taking the circumstances, I would like the five questions to be asked. But in relevance to what you say, I would be quite happy to accept the reply back from your staff. to all those questions I've asked in that letter,
yep,
without having reference to it,
okay,
as a question on notice.
Okay. So that whole document is now going to be treated as a lodgement, and we'll treat that as a question on notice.
Yes.
And we'll give you a reply to those.
That'll be fine.
And you've got two other questions, have you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
The next one concerns the internal audit report. Why was the report not included in the agenda? It is noted that you discarded this management letter as a confidential item, which is part of the interim audit report. And your comments regarding the closing out and a resolution prior to the end of financial year 2020,
yeah,
under your strategic and sustainability policy transfer, you report to the fact is that transparency, regular reporting and communications to the community is undertaken. It is also noted that you indicated the interim report results were declared confidential but not included on the agenda under item 15. My question is, will it be discussed under that item tonight, and will the report from RSM be available to the ratepayers, as your risk management assessment is very low at 4?
In relation to that report, that's... Is that in confidential?
It's not. It was provided to the town in confidence.
Yeah, but this item isn't, is it?
No.
Now, the item is going to be an open debate today.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the results of that interim report.
Yes.
And what we're doing about it tonight.
That would be fine if I get that. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you now, so you don't have to stick around. If that's that, this is the first time that the new system has been put in place, which is with the Auditor General appointed RSM to do an internal audit of us.
Yeah.
And the initial audit highlighted one issue, and that was the check reconciliation process undertaken by council. Our people have looked at that, and what the problem really is the complexity of putting them all together, matching them, is time consuming, and we have insufficient staff in that section. So what has happened is we have an electronic solution to that issue. And putting that together with our internal controls, that issue is now no longer a problem. So that's how it's been solved. The RSM?
Yes.
They will conduct the final audit in October.
Yep.
So they'll come back, they'll make sure that, you know, what we've done suits their interests. I think we've already probably advised them of that. And they'll finish the audit, and if there's any alterations, as you're aware, to the final figures for the 30th of June, if the auditors tell us that there needs to be any alterations to those final figures, then that'll happen in October.
Oh, that answers my second question, Commissioner, you're going to wait for that. You've answered that question, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll explain a bit of that tonight, but...
Yep.
You know, yeah. Okay. Anyone else have a question? There's no further questions. I close question time at 5:45. Does anyone have any statements they wish to make? Former Mayor. I haven't seen you for a while. Congratulations on your endorsement.
Yes, thanks. That's not something I wanted to discuss.
Obviously,
I'm here as a ratepayer.
Yeah.
Camilla Blanco, 18 Harwood Way, Wedgefield. Just in relation to what was just discussed on the reconciliation. First time the Auditor General has done the books. Yes, that was a new system that the state government has put into place. But the reconciliation of our accounts, there was an issue with that. For as long as I can remember, as long as I have been involved with the Town of Port Hedland accounts, and each year that same subject came up, and each year, the same issue of lack of staff in the financial section of the town. So obviously I had a look at the budget, and I have seen that there's an extra $5 million allocated to staff, and I would hope that our financial section is resourced appropriately, so this sort of stuff doesn't keep coming up each year. Obviously, there's a bit of media within the about the next local elections coming up, and it's pretty concerning to me, to see different people putting their hands up and may or may not have been involved previously. Considering that when I took control of when I became mayor, that the town's finances were an absolute mess, and it took us quite a few years to get them under control, and in a place where we're not spending $7 million more than we're earning. So now we've got a situation where we've got enough money to turn the town around, and to actually do exactly the same thing as what Karratha has done, and beautify and also create a livable town. But I'm concerned that we have. I was sitting in the public gallery for 10 years, right, watching, studying, looking at how all the regulations work, how all the laws affecting local government work, one thing that I noticed, that I know, is the people that put their hand up for council don't do that, and find it very difficult to actually follow what is going on when it comes to the finances of the town. So I hope that the people putting their hands up for the next election actually have the foresight to do a bit of study, to understand what is going on with the town's finances, and allocate those finances to the right areas. And let's not forget what those areas are, which are the four R's. And I hope people are listening to this, roads, rates, rubbish, recreation, okay? They're the four main areas. So effectively, the infrastructure of the town. And, we, in the 3 years that I was mayor, we transferred all of our money back into the assets of the town, not using money for insignificant things, wasting it, making sure that we planned correctly and did the job once and did it properly. That's why the South Edland Swimming Pool stayed closed for a long, long time before we reopened it. But clearly, the other thing that people need to understand is these assets that we have were created or built in the early 70s. They're 50 years old. We really need to have a look at or understand that they're at end of life, and we can't keep throwing money into them because it's just a waste. So
thank you. Thank you. I've got to say, I don't disagree with a lot of what you just said. The system we now have got in place, I'm reliably advised, we'll see that issue that keeps coming up in relation to check reconciliation now solved. You'd be happy to note that we're preparing master plans for the future use of all the swimming pools and this building. That'll be decisions that the next council will make. I don't want to enter into a debate.
No, I'm not going into a debate. I just want to say, I just walked in, I haven't been in here for a long time.
Yeah.
And it looks actually quite good. The chambers and also the walk-in area and the front lobby looks great. So you just did a great job on that.
Thanks. So any other statements? There being none, I close statements at 5:51. Do we have any petitions? No, there's no petitions. Questions from members without notice, there is nil. Announcements by presiding officer without discussion, there is nil. Declaration of all members to have given due consideration to all the matters contained in the business papers before the CAS, before the meeting. I declare I've given due consideration to all matters contained in the agenda. Item 10, I confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 22nd of July 2020, that they are true and correct, and I move the recommendation in relation to that. We just now move into the ordinary items, and one of the items, of course, will be of interest to Anderson Street, and of course Arnold's queries in relation to the accounts. Firstly, item 11.1.1, delegated register amendment. So this report is a minor amendment to the delegating powers to allow the CEO to approve the transfer of leases to community groups without the red tape that currently takes up to 7 weeks to process. These leases are worth currently annually a $200 a fee. There are a large number of these leases that community groups and the like have in Port Hedland. The delegated power would put us in line with most level one councils, such as Busselton, Stirling, Vic Park and Rockingham. These changes will assist not-for-profits into the future, so the annual renewals won't change for the existing ones. So I support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Move on to, excuse me, I've had the misfortune of having one of those coronavirus tests a couple of weeks ago when I lost my voice. So one of the most unpleasant experiences I've had for a long time. And I don't suggest if you feel sick, you have to get one, but it's not pleasant. So item 11.1.2, this is the quarterly performance report in relation to actions taken to progress corporate business plans. These reports give a view of how your council or our council is operating to achieve strategic community plans and corporate business plans. The following is a list of some achievements in the quarter four. One, key stakeholders are working on a new reconciliation action plan or some document to replace it. The pace of delivery of the document has been adversely affected in relation to the effects of COVID on a lot of operations in relation to consultation and the like. We are currently in the process of advertising to employ a community engagement officer, an Indigenous community engagement officer, which will, I think, assist with the finalisation of that particular matter. Item two. A partnership agreement has been signed with the Port Hedland Chamber of Commerce that delivers significant support to the Chamber. The three, workplace health and safety audit has identified various improvements. A 12-month plan is now in place to address those findings. 4 strategic community projects are now underway, including foreshore management plans, Wilson Street Path, reserves naming, and native title discussions. And 5 creation of a new system to advertise events to maximise community attendance at Shire events. And 6 a significant work to design 3 rock walls in Maripika Ringa Park around that area, and Sutherland and Coote Streets. We are also lobbying both state and federal government in relation to fundings for that, and of course major companies. There is further advancement, of course, of the spoil bank, and there's been some announcements in the public in relation to that. But this is a significant project that the Shire, of course, are involved with. And we are keenly interested in where the fill for that project ends up, so that we can benefit, the maximum benefit can be made from the fill. There are many other projects being progressed, but I do support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.3. This item is to change the process of becoming a funeral director. Up until now, there is no subjective tests to see if the funeral director has any knowledge of what is required in relation to burials and such forth and cremations. This policy will at least deliver a process that is consistent and ensures the applicant will have an understanding of what implications should their actions take that do not meet the specific requirements. Also reinforces the requirement in Port Hedland that applicants must be a licensed funeral director. In my view, these changes are vital. They enforce some knowledge in the process of getting your license. It is now required to deal with people, so loved ones, in a time of stress. You don't want people not knowing what they're doing in relation to that critical time in people's lives. This new way of managing and issuing funeral directors' licences will be clear, streamlined and ethically sound. So I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.4. This is the matter you spoke of, Arnold. Okay. This item is our normal monthly statement for the period ending the 30th of June 2020. The parameters are the same every month, with the variations the same as always. These accounts are unaudited. The accounts are subject to changes based on further work required to close out our financial year. The auditors may request changes to be made during the review scheduled for October 2020. The breakdown of the net funding position as at the 30th of June 2020 was a deficit of $0.7 million. The breakdown of the cash position is as follows. The current cash assets, $242.5 million. Restricted cash reserves, $241 million, unrestricted cash position, $1.5 million. So I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. The next item, item 11.2.1. This item gives the progress of small grants put out to give small amounts of to a diverse group of community not-for-profits and clubs. They are small in their nature, but assist many, many clubs to function and deliver services to the broader community. I wish to go through the categories for the grants, just remembering the number of grants. I'll read out the number of grants and then the amount allocated for that particular grant. the number of grants doesn't mean you... If the first one, for instance, is artistic development grants. There was two applicants and the gross amount paid was $2,000. So if it all being equal, they would have got $1,000 each. So each grant isn't the amount which I'm calling out, so it's a cumulative nature. The second, the athletics development grants, there's 20 applications for that, and a total of $15,750 was paid to those 20. Three, the business and tourism, there was 10 grants applications with $17,963 was paid. The community arts and cultural grants, there was two of those and $5,444 was paid. Number five, the community collaboration, there was four grants applications with $36,534 delivered to those four grant applicants. The community development grants, there was four of those and $39,000 was allocated to those four grants. The community sports grants, there was six applicants for $9,683. And the friendly neighbourhoods, which was a new category as I understand it, was five applicants for $550. Space activation, there was two of those with a total of $2,000 spent in that area. Special events, there was three and a total of $5,747 was paid. And finally, the youth leadership and development grants, there was 10 of those and an amount of $12,000 was paid in relation to those. So there's a total of some 68 applicants for the grants and a total of $146,671 was paid in relation to them. So that's a lot of community groups that have benefited in a small way and supported by your council. The Shire also has processed some grants in relation to COVID-19 for amounts up to $10,000. I understand that around about 100 applications were received, and that is also for not-for-profit groups that were suffered under the COVID as well. We'll be doing a report on the success of that program at the September meeting. I support the recommendation in relation to that matter, to this matter. Item 11.2.2. This item is in relation to Council's recreational reserves and parks. This item is mainly to correct minor grammatical errors and to make sure accurate and consistency within the documentation. The changes to note regarding recreational reserves and facilities seasonal hire is an addition of a pre-season briefing information session with all clubs to be involved at setting out their requirements. The process is to assist clubs with booking applications for the season during that meeting. There's also a setting out quite clearly of the rules as how alcohol is managed in our premises. So I support the recommendation in relation to that matter. Okay, item 11.3.1. This item is the release of funds out of the reserve set up to complete repairs on our property at our airport. This item authorises the payment of some $11 million for the work of, firstly, removal of asbestos and contaminated soil from the new car park where the old car hire facilities were based. They had fuel tanks in the ground there and they have leaked significantly, so that there's significant contamination needs to be fixed before they complete the work in relation to the car park and the like. Two, the creation of a new wastewater treatment plant. This was estimated to cost between $12 and $15 million a couple of years ago. The town and the Port Hedland International Airport have come up with a system we think is better that costs significantly less. When the airport lease was sold, an amount of $14 million was set aside for these purposes. This new system of wastewater treatment plant will be built and have the capacity for the foreseeable future. And my understanding is that its capacity will be approximately 10 times bigger than the current system that's woefully inadequate. This item also puts in place repairs to the potable water mains required to operate an airport of this size to allow firefighting systems to be reliable and fit for purpose. They currently aren't. All these issues basically were known to council when the lease was signed. It is now time to take the remedial action required, and the payments transfer the town's liability to the areas mentioned to the airport. The acceptance of the officer's recommendation means the work will take place together with the broader works that are happening, and reduce the costs of those particular items as a result. So I do support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Okay, item 11.3.2, which is in relation to the airport as well. This is a local policy planning matter. This item was dealt with in the February 2020 meeting and has been out for public consultation. The policy has four main aims. One, any future development around the airport does not impact on the airport's operation. Two, to set height limits for development, both temporary and permanent, to protect controlled space and, of course, the public safety. Three, to improve and protect against encroachment of noise-sensitive developments to the airport and the flight path. Four, put in place procedures to refer proposals that are described above to the airport itself. There was one submission received with no objections to the above changes. So I support the recommendation in relation to that matter. This next one, 11.3.3, is the one that you're talking about. And we can give you a copy of the full recommendation before you leave, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Can we do that? You can have mine. Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, item 11.3.3. SAC requested reconsideration of an application for lot 737 in brackets 113 Anderson Street, Port Hedland. I've looked at my notes and the reasons for refusing the application on the 22nd of April 2020, remembering that I'm sitting at the Planning Commission in these matters. I looked at the principles set down by SAT itself, and they are, one, has the planning framework changed substantially since the original approval? And the answer to that is quite definitely yes, that's quite massively. Two, would it be approved on today in today's figures, on today's planning standards? And the answer to that is no. Three, whether the applicant actively pursued the implementation of the approval, and for many years that didn't happen. The main reasons for refusal was the land use requirement to not build permanent dwellings. The applicant would not change to holiday accommodation, as was, as I understand it, suggested by the SAP themselves. As a result, I do not see any reason for changing my previous decision and refuse the application for the reasons set out in the recommendation. As I say, I direct a copy of this goes to the applicant. I support the recommendation in relation to that matter, and hopefully the documentation you'll get will explain a bit more to you. I'm happy sometime in the next week, if you want to sit down, I'll get and go through it, you know. Okay. Okay, the next one is item 11.3.4, which is a position statement on Crown land and mining tenements adoption for public consultation. This report gives Council's views on how proposals and management of Crown land and draft position statements for mining tenements. This report sets out what is required in response to the statutory referrals and lists the matters applicants need to address. These rules will apply to new applications or amendments that are considered significant. The position statements formalise the current processes and principles, and in line with the planning strategies and planning schemes, ensure greater transparency in the town's approach, clarify the content of documentation required. The above should enhance collaboration between proponents and the town. Improvement of collection of accommodation information about infrastructure. The rules are will support local industry and reinforce legislative requirements. In relation to tenements, the town will not support 1, mining tenements within the town boundaries, 2, may have an adverse impact on reserves, 3, mining development that have adverse impacts on water, 4, may affect coastal foreshore values, and 5, construction of a duplicate airport infrastructure capable of undermining our airport. And there is also, of course, a list of areas that the council will support, so that the proponents know exactly where they stand. This new system will require more consultation than currently exists and will achieve greater results that will benefit our community. I support the recommendation. Item 11.3.5, which is the Highway Precinct Design Guidelines. This policy outlines design guidelines for the Highway Precinct and will be advertised to the public once this item is passed. After submissions are evaluated, it will return to Council to pass either with or without modification. The aim is to provide guidance for decisions and approval of development within the precinct in relation to the following: 1, primary buildings, setbacks, minimum levels and heights, parking and access, loading, storage, fencing and landscaping, and 2, built form design, including orientation of layout, materials, finishes, signage, plant, equipment, stormwater, waste, verges, and of course bushfire risk. This policy will provide the design guidelines to provide guidance and clarity to land users and developments and the town. It will provide clearer objectives for the public, simplification of existing policy framework, deliver a flexible solution to difficult situations. We should see a vast improvement in the quality of building form after this is introduced. I support the recommendations, and it'll be interesting to see what comes back from the community. Uh, The next item, 11.4.1, this is a minor review of policy that I approved in October 2019. These changes identify benchmarks for the planning, design and installation of landscaping and verges, public open spaces, stormwater drains and networks. The policy changes to landscaping will highlight changes to the irrigation specifications, landscape guidelines and weed management strategies to the town. Also includes a public open space strategy. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Okay. Item 11.4.2. This item is to give a contract to supply installations, repair, removal of barbecues, currently maintained by a council. There are currently 48 barbecue sites in the town. The winning tenderer is from Reading Electrical, and I support the recommendation, but I shall read it out aloud as it has a financial implication. The recommendation is as follows: that council accepts the tender submitted by Reading's Electrical in accordance with the tender RFT 1920-39 barbecue renewal program for a total service charge of $36,363.60 in addition to the schedule of rates as set out in the RFT for a period of 5 years. The contract supplies specifics are: one, supply, installation, removal, repair, barbecues managed by the town for a period of 3 years with an estimated commencement date of Monday the 7th of September, and two, an optional contract extension of 2 years, or two in brackets two times one in brackets 1 year extension in accordance with the schedule of rates detailed in the attachment one, confidential evaluation report and other contractual arrangements. Okay. Award of tender for construction of housing. This tender is for two separate contracts. One for the construction of four homes on a parcel of land on Long Tom Loop, South Headland, and nine homes on the parcel of land in Barrowmind Loop in South Headland. These properties are required to attract and retain highly skilled staff to meet the needs of our community. Accommodation and daycare are the causes of council regularly losing quality staff. It is interesting to note that the local builder who employs local contractors, Pendan Constructions Proprietary Limited, has been awarded both the contracts. And as a result, council has achieved an extra $205,248.75 reduction in the price of the total for building both lots. The savings will be allocated to staff housing for other projects for staff housing after the full cost of this is deducted. Areas such as Dempster and Langley Gardens developments may be where the money finally may be invested. I do hope the improvement in housing solutions helps retain our valuable staff. Previously, I can see that there was a lack of emphasis on housing and has cost council more than just money in the past. I will read aloud the recommendations in relation to this matter. Recommendation one, that council accepts the tender submitted by Pendan Contracting Proprietary Limited in accordance with tender RFT 1920-42. Construction of residential housing on Long Tom Loop, South Headland, for the total amount of 2 million $475,383.70, excluding GST. Do I have to do them each individually?
Yes.
Okay, I support that recommendation. Second recommendation is that Council accepts the tender submitted by Pindan Contracting Proprietary Limited in accordance with tender RFT 1920-41, construction of residential housing in Barramine Loop, South Headland, for a total amount of $4,685,554.45, excluding GST. And notes that by awarding both tenders to Pindan Proprietary Limited, Pindan Contracting Proprietary Limited, the award price has been further reduced by $205,248.75, excluding GST. So I support that recommendation too. And recommendation three, that Council notes the total approved budget for Barramine and Long Tom Loop project is $9,100,000, and that remaining funds following completion of the project be allocated to further development of staff housing. I support the third recommendation. Okay. This is Arnold's gone. Item 12.1, this is the other item that our Freeman mentioned. So it's item 12.1, which is interim audit report 2019-20. This year is in fact the first year of the new system in relation to external audit reports. The Auditor General outsourced to RSM Australia the interim audit conducted in May 2020. RSM presented one finding in relation to monthly bank reconciliation. It was a time-consuming and complex task, and given our shortage of staff in the area, was taking too long. The accounting team has closed this issue out by setting up an electronic system to deal with this issue. This system working with our internal controls will solve this matter, hopefully, and other future councillors won't have to deal with it. So I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. What is it? Sorry? Oh, the audit. Okay. I also wish to state that I received the minutes of the Audit and Risk and Compliance Committee on the 10th of, which was held on the 10th of March 2020, received the unconfirmed minutes of the Audit and Risk Compliance Committee held on the 11th of August 2020 at 5:30, inclusive of the following decisions. One, the interim audit report 2000, which I've just referred to. The audit LOF process. What's a LOF? What's that? You know?
No.
No. A minor breach of investment policy, internal audit program, and a notice of departure from procurement policy. Audit log. Okay. Well, it doesn't say log. Okay. So I approve that. Okay. We're into item 13. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, item 13. motions for which a previous notice has been given. There is nil. New business for urgent nature, or late item, there is nil. 14, matters for which the meeting may be closed, the confidential matters. There is in fact two, which, and I'll read out the recommendation. The council closed the meeting to members of the public as prescribed in section 5.23 subsection 2 of the Local Government Act to consider items 15.1, proposed lease of Cook Point Caravan Park, and 15.2, Chief Executive Officer's probationary review. So I pass
that one as well.
Oh, and the CEO has in fact given a disclosure of financial and impartiality of proximity interests, and will in fact remain in the chamber when those issues are being, because he doesn't have a process in us, so it's not part of the decision making. So I'd ask for people that aren't members of the executive to please wait outside. The meeting's closed for these matters. So I resume the council meeting at 6:32. I'll read aloud the recommendations in relation to the two matters that were dealt with in confidence. So the first one is approves the draft heads of agreement with Discovery Holiday Parks Proprietary Limited in brackets ACN 111782846 for the proposed lease of the Cook Point Caravan Park. Two, approves the business plan prepared for the transaction, which is a major land transaction in accordance with section 3.59 subsection 2 of the Local Government Act 1995, and approves statewide notice to be given for the transaction in accordance with section 3.59 subsection 4 of the Local Government Act 1995, and I do support that recommendation. Okay. On this one?
Yes, it might help me.
Okay. The second one I'll read aloud, and then I'll read aloud the recommendation. I consider the need for a six-monthly review. This is in relation to the CEO's position. I consider the need for a six-monthly review of the CEO's position to be appropriate to go through myself before there is an election, as a result of my knowledge and the council's lack of knowledge at all. I consider the achievements set in negotiations with the CEO to be mainly about key objectives, but there are some other issues, such as the astute leadership and inspirational leadership, and the vision for the future. I consider culture change is now being achieved and delivered, and the delivery of timely advice, especially to me, is vital for my operations. The KPIs are mainly about achieving a budget on time, elections, all master plans, staff housing, the response to COVID-19, all have surpassed my expectations. I've also decided to keep the KPIs in place for the next review. That should be an annual event, and would suggest that an external agency should be employed to do that job, as it is my view that most councils have little knowledge or experience in doing the job in a professional manner. The history of this council reinforces my view about the next review. I support the ongoing employment of our CEO and declare he has successfully completed the probationary period. And once again, congratulate Carl on achieving that.
Commissioner?
I'll read out now the recommendation, which is 15.2. The recommendation is that inform, which I have done, inform the Chief Executive Officer by letter, signed by myself to the States, having completed his 6 month, in brackets 6 months, initial performance review, Council is satisfied with the CEO's performance to date and that he has successfully completed probationary period, and B, continue to deliver on current KPIs and corporate business plans prioritised for the period September 2020 to January 2021, and establish a establish a mutually accepted key performance indicators with council by no later than February 2021 as part of the CEO's performance and remuneration review that is due to take place then. I support the recommendation. I've done that one. Okay. 16.1, hang on. Okay, 16.1, which is the next meeting of the council, will be held on Wednesday, the 23rd of September, 2020, commencing at 5:30. The noteworthy thing, just for the public, is that will be my last meeting. So, very sad day for Port Hedland. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.